Hey folks, welcome back to podcast number 4.
Oh, you can count, Carl. That's amazing.
I can count so far.
At least to 4.
That voice you hear is my co-host at this point. I'll just call you co-host.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what it's turning into. Yeah.
Like it makes me sound important.
The Carl and Mike Show, brought to you from the luxurious and over-equipped studios of ClarkCreative.org. And if you want to check this place out and see pictures, it really is a great studio, Mike.
For the plug, Carl.
We got like three regular listeners so far.
Hey, that's 3 more clients I didn't have last time. So,
but better times are coming, man. Because with the gentle prodding from you, I'm investigating this whole podcast thing pretty deeply. And you were right; everyone's doing it.
Prodding or podcasting?
Well, some kind of prodding, but podcasting.
Okay.
Maybe we should call this the Prodcast.
Genius.
Okay,
genius.
Well, I'm trademarking that right now. The Prodcast. With Carl and Mike Clark.
Yeah, I can see our t-shirts, Get Prodded.
Get Prodded.
Yeah.
Yeah. A cattle prod.
Okay, maybe not.
I don't know. We'll need a sound effect of a cattle prod is probably what we'll need.
I'll work on that for you.
Hey, if there's anything you want us to talk about on the show, you can reach me at Carl, K-A-R-L, at carlfromnh.com. That's all K's and the Carls. And we'll probably do, as I keep threatening each week, we'll probably do some interviews here pretty soon and maybe a call-in number or something like that. We're feeling it out. It's a work in progress, Mike.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're figuring it out as we go. So there's all kinds of stuff to talk about, obviously, as there is every week. That's one of the nice things about doing an hour a week. Always plenty to talk about. It's not like the 3-hour-a-day thing where you've got to go to the silly news
I know,
segment.
That's funny. I was thinking that this morning. I was watching Good Morning America this morning. It's like they have to make up shit every day.
Yeah.
They have nothing to report.
If there's not something major going on, then yeah.
It's like how to rearrange your sock drawer correctly.
Exactly. You can tell when it's a slow news day,
No doubt.
Slim pickings. And we've got a special guest this week because I wanted to talk a little bit of Super Bowl. And as anyone who knows me and I know practically nothing about football, Mike's a big football freak.
Love it.
I enjoy football. And one of the reasons I enjoy it so much is I've got a teenage son who's like a high school football all-star. And he's going to major in sports management, maybe some kind of sports broadcasting. And so as a special treat, the handsome and huge Dominic James Zahn, DJ Dom, with us in studio. Dom, what's happening?
Oh, you're really pushing the all-star there.
Well, you know, you had a good year, man. I've watched you play seriously football all through high school and then even before that in the little Mustangs thing. And so I've seen you go from a kid who is a little bashful on the field, who grew into it and is now one of the most, if not the most, ominous figure this year.
I'm going to certainly be nice to him.
Yeah.
He's not exactly petite.
On the Spartans team. So he's a good kid, good student, and we figured we'd bring him in here so that him and Mike, we could all have a little serious talk about football, Super Bowl. I'm going to start by just saying this one little thing about the deflated balls, and I'm not going for any of the easy jokes there. It's just, that's hack.
We already did that.
Plus, we already did it, probably. My thing is, they know how Brady likes it. Brady's a big shot, so somewhere there was a tacit agreement that it got done, and I don't see it as the end of the world. So that's where I stand on that. But I'm going to let you two, Dominic and Mike, talk about. So who was this guy, Dom, on the Seahawks that made this big, huge play? You guys were saying that he used to be in a Foot Locker or something?
Yeah, he's the receiver. He caught a few major passes in the game, right? Big, tall dude.
Yep.
I forget his name.
Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews, that's what it was. Yeah.
The 6'5", 220, former Foot Locker all-star.
Yeah, they were making fun, like he had to ask for the day off so he could go play the Super Bowl.
Is that true?
Well, they made a few comments about that. You know, obviously they were probably joking, but you know, he was just working at a Foot Locker.
But what's the deal, Dom? So this kid was a newcomer to Seahawks or this level of football or what? You got to fill me in here.
I used to play college D1 and then, you know, didn't work out right away. So he has to make money somehow. He goes to Foot Locker. week before the Super Bowl, they call him up, you know, give him a tryout, and he makes a team.
Wow.
So, yeah. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. See, and that's, again, because I don't follow this stuff and don't know any of it. Yeah, that's incredible. So a week before, and then he ends up on the field in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he made some great catches. Yeah. Actually, a similar thing happened to Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner, when he went to the Rams, he was bagging groceries. And they called him up, and he's the quarterback. You know what I mean? Right? Am I wrong? I think that was the story back then.
Not only just a quarterback, one of the great quarterbacks, too.
What a Super Bowl.
First for the Rams, and then...
Yeah. Arizona, right? Didn't he play for Arizona for a while, too?
Yeah, played Arizona, yeah. St. Louis.
But, you know, he didn't get drafted, you know, didn't have a job, so he was bagging groceries at the grocery store and got called up. What?
So there's a little bit of the American dream in there.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's almost like a country music song. So these guys came from nothing. They got their big shot, and it came through. So, Dom, as someone who knows football inside and out, and I know you're not a big Patriots fan. You're a New York guy.
What?
But, his mom is from New Jersey, so she's poisoned. She's poisoned my kids into being Yankees fans and, what, a Giants?
It's dangerous Jets. Around these parts.
Oh, I know.
No one's going to mess with you, though.
He keeps it on the down low. And by the way, Dominic is not his real name. We're using an alias. Fictitious name so he doesn't get pummeled. But you must have enjoyed the Super Bowl nonetheless, right?
Yeah, it was a great game. Much better than the routing of last year's.
Yeah.
It was at least something to watch all the way till the end.
And what's your feeling on the whole ball thing? Like, do you see that as Patriots cheating or they didn't deserve to get there? Or do you kind of see it like, yeah...
No yeah, big. I mean, it's not a big problem.
I'm sure many teams bend things as much as they can. I mean, God, I remember when my son used to play Pop Warner. My son played football all through high school, and, you know, he started in Pop Warner. And the coaches used to do, like, things like that because the kids had to be weighed, you know what I mean? You would have to play at a certain weight level or else you couldn't play in Pop Warner to keep it safe. So he would, you know, he would make sure the kids urinated before they were weighed and made sure that they didn't eat breakfast that morning at Pop Warner level. So, you know, coaches are always trying to bend the rules as much as they can to win. It's just part of being a coach, I think.
And what about the play, Dom? Now, this guy, Pete Carroll, is that, if I have the name right?
Yeah.
Like, I've heard people talking about it, and Miller, who's a big football guy, obviously. They thought that he overthought it too much or too elaborate or something like that. What do you think of all the moves out there?
I think it was more like just a great defensive play rather than a bad call. I mean, I would have run the ball with one of the best running backs in the league right now, but you know, just I think the throw was really what killed him. You got to put that in his chest.
Yeah, I think it was Russell Wilson's fault, you know, and Pete Carroll's a class act because I think he was falling on the sword for his team. You know what I mean? He took the blame for it.
Yeah.
He did. I mean, I think if you look at the play, if he had thrown it a little more inside, it would have been caught by the Seahawk guy, you know? And
there's your Super Bowl back-to-back champs.
Right, exactly, with that bizarre catch by Curse, which was, what?
Yeah. Well, I know enough about it to know when I see something phenomenal like that. And it's pretty exciting. But I'm also very naive about, and again, this I got from just hearing other guys talk about the Super Bowl, like the, you know, how the guys are always covering their face with the notebook because there's people reading lips and stuff like that on the plays. And I never had any idea that goes on. I mean, it's crazy, right?
Well, the Patriots were busted for it. They were filming coaches' signals on the sideline years ago. You know, what did they call it, Spygate or something?
Yeah, I think 2007.
Right.
Wow, unbelievable.
But, you know, the guy that picked the ball off for the Patriots, he actually saved the game before that. Because when Curse had that bizarre catch, he had the mindset to actually tackle the guy because that was a live ball. That guy could have stood up and walked it into the end zone. But he made a heads-up play. He saved the Super Bowl right there. Because it was a live ball. He could have just gotten up and walked into the end zone. But he had enough mindset to actually tackle the guy after it was caught. So
yeah. A lot of people bashing Logan Ryan, too, for not really covering Chris Matthews well. But, I mean, he's got 6 inches on him.
Right.
Exactly. And who's going to cover a guy who, going into the game, has no career receptions?
You don't expect him to catch anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. I can see if it's Dez Bryant or someone like that. Yeah. But, you know.
Well, I feel like I should just go out in the kitchen there and make myself a muffin and let you guys go at it here.
I've seen a lot of Super Bowls. I'm relatively old. I think it was the best one I've ever seen. It was so emotionally up and down the whole time because you could see Brady. He was totally deflated when that bizarre catch because they lost one to the Giants with the helmet catch that, what was the guy's name?
David Tyree.
Snagged
it on the helmet.
Yeah. But. So and that was a similar type of like bizarre play that they would have lost the game. You know,
yep, and then there's the Mario Manningham catch 3 years ago today, actually.
So
as someone who's more than likely going to play college ball and make sports or football some kind of something to do with your career, how do you look at stuff like this? Do you see yourself as like on the coaching end of it, like the guys making the plays or a player, or you just love all of it?
No, I mean, in college, I'm hoping to be a player, but after that, just being a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the best sports in the country, I think. I mean,
yeah, it's fun to watch.
It is. It's even when you don't
know anything. When you don't know anything about it, it's fun to watch.
Well, that was the most watched television show in history, Sunday night. 167 million people or something. More than people that voted last year in America.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, you know, and it's interesting because one of the things that's been going on with Miller, and Dominic's met him and been in studio with Dennis, and obviously his thing on football, you know, Monday Night Football and all that.
Yeah, his stint on that.
His short-lived and ridiculous.
I loved him on that, but no one could understand what he was talking about.
Yeah, well, he's the king of the obscure reference, you know. That's his monkey trick, and it just doesn't work with that crowd, but I know Dennis has been real pissed off at what they've been doing to football, you know, over the last couple of years with the safety things and trying to, you know, all these reeling it in, more regulation and trying to make it a safe game where the point where they've taken the fun out of it. And I know that he has this year kind of been boycotting football, and he talks about it, how he's trying to wean himself off of it and not watch. Like, he's that aggravated about it. Is that something like you guys see?
I mean, yeah, I can see them making the game safer, and it kind of does take a little bit of fun out of it, but, I mean, you know, there are players, when there's players in their 50s committing suicide because of their head problems, you know, the NFL has a point.
Yeah, and who's the guy that's the new NFL? What's his name?
Roger Goodell.
Yeah, Roger Goodell.
Yeah. And, you know, the NFL is, let's face it, it is the hugest sports organization in the world, you know, and this little kids that want to play football, you know, so they're trying to keep it clean. They're trying to keep it. It's a violent sport, so you know they're trying to tone that down a little bit. But the football purists don't like that. They want to see the linemen be able to slap each other in the face like they used to. You know, I mean, you know, in the old days, the guys would the linemen used to come right up and like smack the guys in the side of the helmet, you know, as they broke for the play. But you know, and the NFL changes the game the way the audience wants to see the game, too. It's definitely more an offensive game now. You know, the corners can't touch the receivers like they used to. They can't bump them like they used to. So, you know, it's all about entertainment. Let's face it, football is the entertainment business.
Yeah, well, that's interesting to hear your viewpoint on it, because I've heard mostly his, which is, it sounds like that's what you're talking about, that purist thing of...
Sure, they're trying to save their reputation.
Yeah, it's a violent game. Everybody knows that going in. But then when I hear Dominic talk about these guys with head injuries and then down the road later in life, they're all screwed up and they're offing themselves.
Sure.
That doesn't seem good either. So.
Have you ever had a concussion, Don?
I've been lucky enough not to get a concussion.
Yeah, so you're a lineman, so it's you know, my son played defensive end, and he had a couple. You know, like one of them was really bad. I mean, he didn't know who I was. You know, he didn't know where he was. He didn't know what game he was playing. So you know, we brought him right to Manchester and had his head scanned. You know, and it was a pretty good concussion. You know, scary.
Yeah, that is scary.
Yeah. He didn't know who his parents were, which is, you know, I was thinking about, is this a good opportunity to leave him here? Or?
Yeah, I have to admit, when Dominic first wanted to play, even on the Mustangs, I was the worried parent, you know, because my thing as a parent is always, you know, man, do I want to see my son in a wheelchair, you know, over high school football or something like that? Because it's, even in the great, I mean, a level they're playing, man.
Sure, some kids would die every year from it. In hindsight, you know, I'm not sure I would let my son play now. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's a scary sport, but it's,
I'll tell you,
he loved it so much, and it's so much fun. And I love the experience being a football parent because you make all kinds of new friends. You get to know all the kids in the school. It's a whole scene, you know. I met all kinds of great parents in the community that I would have never known, you know. So there's a lot of positive things to go with it too.
Well, yeah, I have to admit, I dug that part of it, of being able to go and watch him at the same high school I went to and that my mom went to on Friday nights in your hometown. And you know, it's, you're right, there's a whole big thing to it that's and it's steeped in American history, and I think,
no doubt,
you know, especially as the world goes increasingly crazy, we tend to hang on to more than ever those things that or stay true to our history.
Well, you know, it kind of pissed me off too because, you know, I have some very liberal friends on Facebook. You know, let's face it, a lot of my clients are very liberal. And they were whining about how much money we spend on the stadiums and the Super Bowl and all this and how it could, you know, feed the X amount of children Africa. And it's like, you know, come on, we're Americans. We work hard. Can't we enjoy this one day?
Yeah. And it's
without
putting
some sort of political thing on it. Well, there is, you know, there are, you know, the cities that put money into the NFL stadium, but hey, that employs a lot of people. You know, it brings a lot of tourism to your city if the Super Bowl is held there. And, you know, again, there's a lot of positive things to it, but, you know, I was like, come on, can't we just have some fun for one day and get back to the politics the next?
I have to say, I've been afforded some interesting glimpses into it over the years, and one of them was with my late father-in-law, Dom, that took us all to the Super Bowl in Detroit.
And you went to the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we were sitting right next
to... Who's playing?
That was the Steelers-Seahawks. Jerome Bettis, the bus, his last career game.
Really? Oh, fun.
Yeah, it was great to see.
Awesome.
Rolling Stones, halftime.
Wow.
And we were sitting a couple of seats down from Jim Belushi. Those are the parts I remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the halftime show this year. Although Katy Perry does have nice beach balls, but I don't know, the Sharks doing the Macarena and
Michael,
stuff. What? She does?
Michael.
You didn't see the beach ball dress she had on?
Michael Godless Clark. Thank God your mother isn't listening.
She probably will, though.
You know, she may have had a point when she called you godless.
Could be.
Katy Perry, I can't believe you would comment on her...
her halftime show?
Her...
It was quite a spectacle.
I can't believe you would comment on her young, perky breasts on a family podcast like this.
I didn't say that. I said beach balls.
You know, this is turning into a podcast right before our very eyes. I'm Carl Zahn. He's Mike Clark. That's my son, Dominic Zahn, over there learning his football commentary chops here at the studios of ClarkCreative.org.
Doing a hell of a job.
I also remember that Super Bowl in Detroit that, you remember Pop got rolled for $3,000? So we're leaving after, now, big Italian guy, my late father-in-law, lovely man, generous, obviously, took us and a whole bunch of us to the Super Bowl. So we're leaving the Super Bowl in Detroit, and it's all, you know, crowded and all that. And the next thing you know, he's one of these big Italian guys, keeps a roll in his pocket and his wallet, gone.
Oh, no.
Credit cards, license.
That puts a damper on the day right there.
Oh, yeah. Sure. And I also remember thinking whoever took that had no idea who they were screwing with, because it's like stealing from Tony Soprano.
Yeah, you'd wind up in a dumpster somewhere.
Exactly. I go, man, if he ever finds out.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, if he ever finds out who did this. And then I remember leaving there and driving around Detroit in his Lincoln and... Detroit at that time, of course, now there's no good section of Detroit left. At that time,
it's which was what,
maybe 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, we did
something
that.
Like that.
Yeah. At that time, there was maybe two or three blocks of Detroit that were safe, and we got into these neighborhoods driving around in this Lincoln. I just remember, this can't be good, a carload of white guys in a Lincoln driving around these neighborhoods.
It certainly would be now, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, God. I remember thinking that this could turn problematic very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
And then the other funny thing that happened on the trip, his son Chuck, would be like Dominic's uncle, you know, we had stayed in just over the border, so we were actually in
Canada.
Canada.
Yeah.
So we're going through customs because our hotel's in Canada. And so Chucky's in the car in front of us, and he tells the custom guys, hey, I take a good look at this guy behind us because I saw him pulled over putting something in his trunk, which was all bullshit. Of course, it's my father-in-law. So we pull up, and he gets the friggin' third degree, like he's, you know, and it turns out it's just his son fucking around.
Oh,
but
no.
Yeah, we got treated like terrorists there trying to, you know.
Where did he pay for tickets for that Super Bowl? I was just curious.
He would never say.
Oh, he wouldn't? I was just curious because there was stupid money this year.
Like yeah,
50 was, grand
oh,
or something.
Yeah.
You know, what? Which kind of sucks. You know, it kind of pushes the common person out of going to see, you know, the real football fans. You know, it's more for
it becomes
a celebrity show.
Yeah, it becomes a thing like that, right? And I remember that one we were out, we were way up in the stands, and Jim Belushi was sitting there, which I remember thinking, well, these are the best tickets he can afford. But, yeah, I'm sure it wasn't cheap.
Yeah, big money.
Especially not cheap when you lose your wallet and all your cash on the way out of the place. But, man, someone had him pegged, you know, big 350-pound Italian guy. Yeah. Someone got in and out of his pocket. He never felt the thing. And, yeah, I remember him telling
that guy would have gotten killed.
You know, you gotta appreciate the culture of New Jersey Italians to appreciate this in full when he's reporting it to a black female Detroit cop.
Oh, no.
And she made the mistake of asking him if he had any idea who it was, and his response to her was, well, probably a black guy.
Oh no, is that what he said?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that delicate New Jersey touch. And I remember telling him, you know, Chaz, I got a feeling this is not going to the top of her investigatory list after you just made the overtly racist comment that probably a black guy, and it probably was, but still,
probably
when you're reporting the crime to a fellow black Detroit police officer, you probably don't want to get the racial slam in there.
No, absolutely.
And if she only knew that the New Jersey Italians have some much more colorful terms,
absolutely,
for people of different ethnicities.
What are you doing with all the newspapers over there?
I was actually trying to cobble together a show while you guys were talking about football. So
me and Dom are cobbling one together, I think. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think we're doing okay, right? Yeah. What, you're always blocking the clock. Oh, no, you're not. I see the clock. Is,
oh, there's
also one
there.
There to the right, too. So
right, they're all over the place.
Yeah,
we've
got
the
plenty
mixer,
of time.
One
so
up the screen.
We can just jump in and out of football as thoughts occur to you guys, if that's what you want to do. And since Dom's a smart young kid, we'll just keep him in the loop here as we go down through current events.
Absolutely.
And, of course, since we do a podcast, it would be ridiculous not to prod into the news of the week. And, of course, the topping headline is that the pilot burned alive.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Can those guys get any more barbaric? I have no idea.
Well, I was going to say it's like they go out of their way, but it's not like they go out of their way. They do go out of their way to be completely
barbaric. I
like
Jordan's response, though. That's the way we should respond. You know, he executed the prisoners they had the next morning, and we're worried about, not mistreating these poor prisoners at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, I've heard all kinds of people, and I'm sure you've seen this right on the news, so you know what we're talking about. Yeah, the King of Jordan. I mean, you know, superimpose that against our leadership here in this country where it's endless pontificating and, you know, we're going to form a committee. I mean, really, even Obama after this one, it's just the usual tepid response to, he even said, you know, this ideology, whatever it is, it's gotten to be like a Saturday Night Live skit. The way they dance around, they will not call it Islamic terrorists or mention the word Muslim. I mean, for our president to go, this ideology, whatever it is, like, hey, I think we got our finger on what it is.
Did he not see the film? I mean, what?
It's so mind-boggling, isn't it? And it's funny, like you said, that it's refreshing now to see, of all people, the King of Jordan respond like we wish, I think, we wish our country would respond. Swift, fast, furious, fuck you. We just off two of your guys.
Well, you know, I guess as Americans, there's nothing wrong with trying to take the high road and trying, you know what I mean? you don't want to join them in their terrorist ways, but it gets to a point where you have to act on
it. Yeah, and I agree, because even O'Reilly said last night that, you know, he understood that reaction, but also felt it smacked too much of revenge versus retribution. But on the other hand, maybe that's what it takes to mobilize the world. I mean, because that's what we need, is to mobilize the world against these people.
And yeah, absolutely. If we had danced around Germany in World War II, you know, we'd also be speaking German right now, I guess.
Well,
you
or not, I mean? Or not speaking at all if we weren't the right race.
That's true.
It's very true. And then I see these other, not just O'Reilly, but Oliver North and these military guys laying out this thing like, yeah, here's what we should do. You know, these kind of random drone strikes. It's holding them back a little bit in Iraq. But when I saw this map the other night of territories that ISIS has taken over, entire cities in the Middle East, I mean, these guys are covering ground, man.
No one's stopping them.
And no one's stopping them. Nope. And, you know, we know, like these videos that they make, we know where they broadcast those from.
Sure, you can see buildings in the background.
Yeah, so someone was saying the other night, well, why don't we bomb those buildings? At least they won't be able to distribute these horrendous videos, you know?
Yeah.
And I made the point the other day on the radio that it's an interesting human psyche thing that these decapitations, beheadings, the pilot being burned, because it's onesies, twosies, and they're filming it, it seems to have grabbed the attention of so many more people. And of course, it started with the thing at Charlie Hebdo in Paris with the cartoonists.
Right.
But like I said on the radio the other day, what happened on 9/11, over 3,000 people all at once got burned to death or had to make the choice of burning to death or jumping out of the World Trade Center. Surely got decapitated, dismembered, blown to bits. Women, children.
Cooked alive.
Cooked alive.
Yep.
And yet, that kind of got lost in everybody somewhere along the way. It's like I said the other day, I go, look, I got the memo on 9/11 about what this was, radical Islam and Muslim terrorists. And
right.
It's just odd to me that it seems like just now a whole bunch of people are starting to get the picture like, wow, these guys are really barbaric. Well, yeah, what happened on 9/11 was fucking barbaric. I mean,
that was worse than Pearl Harbor because, you know, at least Pearl Harbor was a military installation. You know, this is civilians going to work. I watched a documentary on Netflix yesterday. Funny, you know, you're talking about 9/11. It was about this one company that was at the top of the tower. They lost 700 out of like 850 employees in 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, it was all the stories of the guys that one guy, it happened to be his son's first day of kindergarten, so he didn't go into the building that morning, you know, and just stuff
like
that.
All these weird coincidences, and then you live with that the rest of your life.
All these people you worked with for years, you know, what?
Well, yeah, you know? I'll tell you what, man, it's one of those events, like everybody remembers where they were.
I remember it.
Yeah, the day you remember what you were doing and where you were the day that you heard that news. And then I remember even calling Dom's mom like later on in the day after they hit the Pentagon.
Yeah, it's a
great
documentary.
And it kept unfolding. And then you start thinking, hey, you know what? We better, you know, maybe you better get the kids home and maybe because what's going on here and where's it going to end, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? And I understand, you know, a lot of people didn't support Bush's retaliation for that. You know, I don't know, maybe there wasn't that much in Iraq involved with what happened 9/11, but you know, it made some sort of statement that we are going to act if you act out against us.
Yeah,
you
see, I never had a problem with Bush going into Iraq, and I understood the distance that Iraq had from what happened on 9/11.
Sure.
But I also understood that here was our chance to get a foot in the Middle East, to make a statement, to get a base of operations in the Middle East, a military installation, a military airport. And after all that, we finally got that. And then Obama comes in and pulls everybody out and lets it piss away to now they run all that stuff with our our guns and ammunition, right, exactly, and tanks, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think it was a bad thing taking out Saddam, you know, because similar mindset to Al-Qaeda, and he has resources. He had resources.
Yeah, lots of oil, I mean, look, we already know people made a big deal of the weapons of mass destruction. I go, look, we didn't find him, but we know he had him. He gassed.
He used him on the Kurds.
He gassed 10,000 Kurds,
yeah,
you know, with chemical weapons. We know he had it or has them, or they shuffled them out of the country.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem I had with the movement in Iraq was how we did it.
I think so too.
Yeah, the new rules of engagement, and it really took McCain was the guy who finally got the surge to happen, because Bush was getting so much heat over it. You know, the whole country did not want to get deeper into that thing. But McCain finally said, look, the way to do war is you go in fast and furious, hard and heavy, and you get it over with as quick as you can. It's like Hiroshima. In the end, less people die, less people get hurt when you just go in and get it over with. But we do this horrific dog paddle now.
No political leader would ever make that decision like Hiroshima. Like, no one could ever make that decision now.
Well, except maybe the King of Jordan.
Yeah, but I'm talking an American leader. No one would support it.
Yeah, no, nobody would. And, right, you know,
that's our mindset right now.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to make decisions that aren't popular.
It's not pretty.
It's like McCain, you know, when Bush was in and McCain was fighting for the surge. I remember, like, Republicans running in the other direction because it was such it was such an unpopular stance, and McCain actually called Rumsfeld on the floor of the Senate the worst Secretary of Defense the country had ever had, and then he called Rumsfeld later, and they joked about it. You know, McCain said, hey, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings, but look, we've got to get this over with. Send the people what they need. Send the right amount of troops over there. Flatten these guys and let's get out, you know?
Sometimes you have to make unpopular decisions to get things done.
That's leadership.
It is. And if you look at Civil War history, Lincoln had to do the similar thing. He was having congressmen arrested and people arrested in the Senate and the Congress, and people that didn't agree with his, you know, they wanted to have him impeached.
Yeah.
You know, and if he didn't make those hard decisions, we'd be two countries right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
So, you know, look at your past history.
And I'm embarrassed to admit how little I knew about that until I saw the movie Lincoln.
It was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
A little slow for most people, but.
Well, you know, a great lesson in history, though. And I never knew a lot of that, how unpopular his decisions were. And, you know, his life was threatened and he was bribing people to get,
life threatened. He was assassinated.
He was finally assassinated. Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, but
good point, Mike.
But he had to, how was the play? You know, too soon?
No, it's not too soon.
Oh, okay. But, you know, he had to make brutal decisions, you know, that's what you have to do sometimes.
So, Dom, do your friends, do you guys talk about this stuff at all? No.
Politics? No.
Not politics, but the terrorism, the world stuff, what's going on in the world, or do you guys kind of not think about it too much?
Yeah, I guess you hear about it and you just don't know what to believe.
You're
too young at this point.
Yeah. You know. Well, I have to admit,
you're not that far away from voting, though. Mm. What do you got to know?
Well, he actually voted. Yeah, he's 18.
So you're already 18?
Yep. Yeah, he's 18.
So you need to be informed about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I made sure he went and voted. I don't know who he voted for.
That's his decision.
You know, his mom might have gotten to him at the last minute.
That's his decision.
I don't even think she voted. So.
Mom? No, well, I always figure, you know, teachers union, it's a pretty good, you know.
That's right.
You know.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying, right? Wink, wink, nudge,
wink,
nudge.
Wink, right? Yeah. Prod.
So anyways, interesting stuff going on in the world. I mean, sad. You know?
It was awful. And I think they have an American female prisoner still.
Yes, they do.
Like a human aid worker or something.
They do.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, she's an aid worker. Well, you know what's going to be coming with that. Let's face it. I'm sure they're busy planning out the choreography and what
getting the film crew ready.
Yeah,
you know, when it's sick, it was done. You know, I don't know if you saw any of the shots from the film. I didn't watch the whole.
No,
film
I don't
or
watch
anything.
That stuff. I can't.
Yeah. But it was done very, you know, like in high def with multiple cameras. It was like a production.
Oh,
I mean, this was not done with like, you know, an iPhone camera.
Yeah.
This is done like multiple cameras in high def, very, you know, well produced, like propaganda machine, you know?
Well, it's the worst thing you can imagine. And as a parent, that's the first thing I always think is, God, you know, somewhere in the world, some parent is watching their kid get offed. Surely not watching it because you couldn't, but you know what's happening. And it is. It's terrorism. Terror. I mean, they deal in terror. And there's nothing more terrifying than that stuff. Too bad we didn't have a president like the King of Jordan who had maybe responded by cleaning up. You want to empty Gitmo? There's a way to do it. Next time something like that happens, or if they off this young girl over there, American, how about the next morning we just tell them we just burned everybody that was left in Gitmo?
Well, you know what kind of fascinated me was, you know, we were like, oh, you know, do not negotiate with those, you know, because they asked for that female suicide bomber that failed.
Right.
You know, she was the one that was hung yesterday. And, you know, we were like, oh, you can't negotiate. Am I wrong, or did we not let 5 Al-Qaeda prisoners go? We traded him for a guy that ran away from his platoon or wherever he was.
For Bergdahl.
Yeah, right. What?
And now the Army has completed the report, and they won't release it. They keep stalling on releasing it. It's pretty unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, that was, I think, kind of the
hypocrisy, man.
Yeah, the first negotiating with terrorists, and we let 5 chief guys go.
You know those guys will resurface, too.
Well, the ridiculous thing was, I was watching on the news the other night, that part of their agreement when they traded those guys off is that they would stay in Akbar or wherever for a year. It was like putting terrorists under house arrest and, you know, we're going to keep an eye on them.
Please.
Please. Who even thinks that's going to happen? And you know these guys are already reengaged. And like they said the other night on the news, even if they haven't, after the year is up, they're pretty much free to go and do what they want to do. So
yeah, they're staying at the Bin Laden Hotel.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that, you know, seems like the world is finally starting to get the memo.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time to take in people like Jordan as an ally and work with them. It's like someone said in the news the other night, give Jordan what they need. They're flying 35-year-old F-18s over there. They've got an Air Force like the Three Stooges. Let's give these guys what they need, make them a partner, because they've got the proximity geographically to do what needs to be done, and they certainly have the inspiration to do it now.
No doubt.
You know, it's amazing. Somebody finally makes a bold move, and the world reacts to it positively. You would think that our leadership over here would get the memo on that, but I don't know. I look at the hypocrisy. I think back to the Cambridge police thing way back early in Obama's first term, where he didn't even miss a breath when he said, "Oh, the Cambridge police acted stupidly."
Yeah, I remember that.
He didn't mind pointing fingers then and calling names and seeing it, but try to get anybody in that administration to say the two words Islamic terrorism or Islamic extremism. They absolutely will not do it. And it's past like being odd now. It's actually kind of creepy at this point.
It's really awkward.
Yeah, it's an arrogant, there's a type of arrogance to it that really is strange to me.
Yep.
Another thing I was going to talk about last week, and I forgot all about it. There was some guy from Milford that works for Colesman. Did you hear about that? It was in the Union Leader last week.
No.
He was over in Saudi Arabia, I think, on business. And they found him at the bottom of his hotel window, and they ruled it a suicide, but he was texting a friend over here just minutes before it happened, and he said, "Something bad is about to happen to me. Something bad is going on here."
Really?
Yeah, and a guy from Milford.
No, I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, well, he works for Colesman, and part of what he did was missile defense, so he was over there on some kind of business trip, and to me, clearly got thrown out a window.
That sounds like it.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, because I guess the guy didn't have any kids, so I'm wondering if he maybe was gay, because isn't that part of their thing over there? If you're gay, they throw you off a building or something, right?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, probably. I think there's some...
It's definitely not allowed over there.
Well, yeah, it's definitely not allowed, but they have like a designated punishment for if you're gay, you get thrown off of a high thing or something for some reason. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, strikes home, and I was surprised that I didn't hear anything else about it. I didn't see it on the national news or anything.
I didn't see it even on the local news. I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, maybe it'll be in the paper, local paper tomorrow, but guy's name escapes me now, and I apologize for that, but the story kind of grabbed me. I'm like...
Hey, no word of the week this week?
You know, I was trying to think of one on the fly.
Really?
Well, it went over so badly. What was last week's word? Oh, nonplussed. And then the week before that, we had done molasses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we can use prodding.
As this week's word?
Yeah, it's already in the podcast, so.
Yeah, I know, but the whole premise of the word of the week, Mike, if you remember and pay attention at all to the show.
No, because it really failed miserably last week, so I actually forgot about it.
Yeah, I was looking for words that sound like different than what they mean, like molasses shouldn't mean like a sugary treat. It should mean...
I missed the whole point of it.
Like a clusterfuck. That's the word molasses sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, wow, this show has really turned into a molasses in the last several seconds. But prodding, on the other hand, sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, it is what it is.
The word prod almost makes you pucker up a little.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
There are certain words that definitely sound like moist.
You know what? You put those two words together.
Moist prodding?
Moist prod. Now we're getting... I mean, someone walks into a room just yells prod, pucker up a little, right?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, because that would be unusual and uncalled for. Hey, also I want to talk about for our four regular listeners, coming up right around the corner, March 7th, our big comedy night for the Kim Cates Fund over there.
I'm going to try to make that. It looks like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. We got a great lineup. Dominic,
great
the boys
cause.
Usually come and help out a little bit. Yeah, great cause.
Yep.
It's funny how many people haven't heard about that. This was the woman, Kim Cates, who got killed in that horrific home invasion in Mount Vernon.
Right up the street from us.
Yeah, right up the street from you guys and from where I grew up and where my late mom lived at that point, kind of rocked the whole area. Talk about terrorism.
Yep.
You know, a group of high school kids just randomly decide that they're going to burglarize a home and kill whoever's in there.
With machetes.
No, yeah. And they went out and did exactly that. And in keeping with their lack of planning, were caught, 6 hours later. But that's the benefit. Kim Cates was a longtime nurse at St. Joe's Hospital, so her husband, David, who's a great guy, former Air Force guy, works for BAE, solid as a rock, man. He's one of my heroes, I'll tell you. On a short list of heroes, he's one of them. Stood by his daughter, kept her out of the limelight, went to every day of every trial for all four or five of these kids. I don't know how you even do that.
Unbelievable.
Stayed in the home. His daughter's, you know, well-rounded and healthy and straight-A student, sharp kid. So
she's awesome. She was actually in the studio. I was telling you that.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me that. Yeah. Yeah. So, out the other end of this horrific event is still a great story of survival, community, love. It's one of the great things about living in a small town in an area like this when shit like that goes down.
People come together for
it. People come out of the woodwork, you know. And so it's nice that 5 or 6 years down the road, people still remember and still come out. And,
now, is this like a fund? Does it go to
it goes to a scholarship fund, right?
Or
yeah, it goes to promising medical students.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, to help them with their tuition.
Oh, great.
So,
great cause.
You know, and unlike a lot of the big charities and stuff like that, there's no fat and administrative costs. So pretty much dollar for dollar, everything goes right there to help.
Hey, wait a minute. Aren't we going to get free college for everybody coming up, though?
Well, we're working on that. We're working on that, Mike.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what happened with my kid here because it's seeming like we have to pay for his college. So
still paying for my son's.
God, Dom, if only you weren't white.
Well, he can get a football scholarship, so.
Of course, if you weren't white, there'd be a whole other list of questions.
Just do all kinds of good blocking
and
they'll pay for everything.
That I'd have to deal with here. Hey, how's Harry Reid doing after his terrible fall about a month ago while exercising? I was only disappointed
that
it wasn't fatal.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, what a piece of work,
you can only
huh?
be so lucky.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he got thrown off his exercise machine or something and... he broke a bunch of ribs and facial bones and stuff like that, which is one of the reasons why, like Mark Twain, whenever I feel like exercising, I lay down until the feeling goes away. The great Mark Twain.
Hey, it's funny. We were talking about Romney a couple of weeks ago running. He backed out, huh?
I know. I was talking about how happy I was and it was going to be great. And then he just bails.
But you said, you know, I think it's going to be a positive. I think it's a positive move because you need the Republicans to kind of band together. You know what I mean? And I think that would just separate the party again.
Well, I think what happened is he saw a lot of his big donors going to Jeb Bush.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I think he saw the writing on the wall. And he's that type of guy that really, I've always said, he'll be one of the last demure gentlemen to ever probably run for that office, who only wanted the job, I believe, because of concern for the country.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other reason for him to want it. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the power.
He doesn't want to be a rock star.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be a rock star. He doesn't need the big speech circuit after you're president and all that. So I always felt like he really wanted to do it because it was right for the country. And what I see shaping up now is a bunch of guys. I always call it like the potato head president. You know, if you could take the ears from this one and the nose from that one and the little
potato head.
Yeah, and make your own Mr. Potato Head. Because what we got is a bunch of contestants, none of whom really, I think, have the juice to win on their own.
Obama does have Mr. Potato Head ears, doesn't he?
Well, Mike.
Those are beauties.
I didn't want to say it, but I knew if I... You know, you're such an easy read. You're like putty in my hands. I knew if I put the potato head thing out there and mentioned ears that you would go for the easy.
They're quite humorous, though.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't know. Of course, it's way, way early.
Way early.
It's going to be super interesting to see what happens. Hillary Clinton is laying so low. I heard rumblings the other night that Biden might run. Is that even possible?
That's funny. Now that's funny.
Biden, foot in your mouth. You know,
I can't wait to hear some of his speeches. I mean,
they don't even let him out anymore. The guy's got so many gaffes. I used to do a bit that he's like the dog that keeps coming back with porcupine quills. You know, and you go, Jesus Christ, Joe, get over here, get the pliers. You know, you got them all in your nose. You got them all in the roof of your mouth. You know, nice guy, but what a dope.
Oh my God.
I just can't imagine him running like he does. He doesn't have a prayer.
What
does
a waste
he?
Of time and money.
Oh, man. My God.
You may as well run, Carl, and get it over with.
Well, you know, believe me.
Are you going to?
I've thought about it, Mike. I mean, wouldn't that be fun? I was saying the other night.
I could be your campaign manager.
Look, I was saying the other night to someone, I said, you know what? You know who I like? Trump. You know, because he's like old school crazy.
He's a kook.
Well, imagine all the ISIS terrorists. It'd be like when Reagan got sworn in after Jimmy Carter and we had the hostage crisis. Remember, Carter couldn't get it done and they had the failed attempt to get the hostages out. And then the night that Reagan was sworn in as president, they released the hostages because they knew the next day he'd be dropping a fucking nuke on them. Reagan was old school crazy.
Yeah.
And I really think we need a guy like that. I'm at the point now, I was talking to someone, they're like, oh, Trump, he's so obnoxious. I go, exactly. I can't stand the guy, but he's old school crazy. He'll run it like a business.
Oh, that place would be a parking lot.
Yeah,
after he's elected.
He'll think nothing of like closing 100 federal agencies the very next day.
No kidding.
And you know, in a way, it's what we need, you know? So, and I'm thinking, can't Republicans at least go out with a bloody nose? Like, can't we go out swinging instead of, with a whimper instead of a bang?
He's got such cool hair, too.
Well, the hair thing is really off. The hair thing is off-putting,
the political cartoonists will love that.
Really. I'm telling you.
They'd go,
like the outspokenness.
Yeah.
And Chris Christie's got it. I love that about Chris Christie, that he'll pretty much just tell someone. There was a great, great soundbite of Chris Christie. This was like last year. He's doing a town hall down in Jersey, and they got a big crowd of people come in, and... this one older gentleman stands up, Christie calls on him, he puts his hand up, and this guy goes off on this rant about, I've heard that you put plants in these audiences and that you only call on the people that are planted here so you know what the question's going to be, and the whole thing is a fraud. And without missing a beat, Christie goes, then why the fuck would I call on you?
I mean, it's true. It's
the whole place came down into laughter.
He's beautiful.
And I'm going, oh, man, Christy, beautiful, yeah. Left jab, quick on your feet.
He don't care.
Yeah, why would I call on you if everyone's on a plan? Just sit down and shut up.
I
you know?
That.
You dork. Oh, it's a great. I wanted to make that my ringtone, you know? Going, yeah, everyone's a plant. It's all contrived. Why the F would I call on you?
Exactly.
So, but the problem with that kind of outspokenness, too, is it'll get you buried, you know? They tried to bury him on the bridge thing.
Again, you have to tiptoe around everybody and everything.
Oh, God. And that brings you to the thing of why would you want to run for president, you know? It's a gauntlet of... what's that? Is that our ticking clock already, Mike?
It is. Yeah.
So here,
I forgot to put that on here, mute. Here sorry about that.
Here at the amazing ClarkCreative.org, where production is number one, we forgot to turn down our ending clock. And we do like to keep it at 50 minutes, kind of sharp. We're trying to do that, right?
In my defense, I did look at it before we started recording, right?
You know, listen.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. So.
Don't you think, though, it's kind of charming when there's like a little gaffe like that? Because you know what? It lets the audience know that we're human too, Mike.
I think they already know that. That's for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Dom, thanks for coming down, man.
Hey, no problem.
Talking football with
you. Let's do this again. This was fun, huh? You do this
again, good.
Right? I know. The minute we're off air, he's going to be looking for money.
Yeah, that would be like, I can't get that 50 minutes of my life
back. He's going to be saying, look, I got $150 for a studio appearance. Okay. hey, he's Mike Clark. He's my lovely son, Dominic Zahn. I'm Carl Zahn. This is 50 Minutes or Less with Carl Zahn. We'll see you next week.